Well, we all know what today is. It's a special Lord's Day. I believe it's Woodrow Wilson. I didn't look it up. One of those men in the past has set the second Sunday in May. He said, we need to make it a holiday. We need to make it a day of remembering mothers and what they have done for us. And so we often think about that as it comes to the second Sunday in May. And so that's today. And we want to try to have a message that maybe applies to think a little more about this side of the house. But there's things that we need to learn too. And I'm going to strive to do that. I come into this maybe a little bit feeling like as I pondered what to share, I took a lot of bunny trails. I took a lot of places that didn't seem to get me anywhere that I really wanted to go, that the Lord maybe was leading on more on, until I got to this passage that I'm going to share this morning. And in that, sometimes I feel like the Spirit's going to have to do some work because my notes maybe have a little more gaps in it than I really like to have. And so but I believe there's a message here for us. So you can turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4. And we have two women here that we want to look at this morning. We know motherhood as a time of life when there's trials in life. As they go through raising children, as they have given birth to children, And they go through the raising process. There's trials in life. There's struggles that you face, that you need to deal with and you need to work with. So I've titled the message this morning, Mothers of Faith. Mothers of Faith. And so as I came into this, I wondered, and we want to look at it in this passage here, what makes a good mother today? Brother Marlon was having our Sunday school class, and I maybe touched on a point that I ponder about, because sometimes we can look at our parents and we can see their faults. We can see their failures and what they should have done different. And I've heard people say, well, this is why I am why I am, because of failures of my parents. I brought a little bit of that out in that comment I had made in Sunday school. But I think we need to live beyond that. What makes a good mother today? Does it mean it's a perfect mother? No. No, it doesn't. But it means a mother that has a goal, that has a focus, that has a direction of travel, that is pointing more towards heaven. So let's read this passage, 2 Kings chapter 4, and let's think about these women here. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha. So we have this man Elisha that's going to be in focus in both of these two women's lives. And so we know that he was a prophet. And this woman cried unto him, and going on in that verse, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take on him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought her the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. The second story now, in verse 8. And it came to pass on a day, let me read that again. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed through Shunem. And there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi his servant, Call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had sent unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? Is it neither new moon nor Sabbath? Or let me read that again. It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. Then she sat on an ass and said to the servant, Drive and go forward, and slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her far off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, Gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not, and if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them, and he laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him, and told him, saying, The child is not awaked. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead, and laid upon his bed. And he went in therefore, and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up, and lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, Call the Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, Take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet, and bowed herself to the ground, and took up her son, and went out. We're going to cease reading there. We have these two stories, real accounts of happenings in the life of Elisha that we want to look at here this morning and look at what makes a good mother today. As we come into this first account, I see the woman The first one I have is lives a life of faith. Lives a life of faith. Verse 1. Her husband is dead. And she looked at her husband that is died and said, Elisha, your servant that was my husband is dead. And he did fear the Lord. I believe the faith was passed on to her. She went to the right source. This woman had no longer her husband's faith, but it was her faith. Her husband's faith needed to be part of herself. That's what needs to happen for a good mother today. There is a debt in everyone's life that can only be paid by Jesus Christ. And a change in your life and His shed blood for us. And we must have the life of faith and reach out and take that and apply it to your life. For a mother to follow through and to be able to meet the trials in life, she needs that. Makes a good mother today. Is it one that lives a life of faith? Lives it out and the children see it. The second one I see. Makes a good mother today. In this lady's life, in verse 5, there is submission and obedience. Elisha looked at this woman and said, this is what you need to do. You've come to me, the man of God, and have asked me what to do because your sons are going to be taken away from you. This is what you need to do. You need to go get all those vessels in. Bring them into the house and start pouring. Shut the door and start pouring into it. And in verse 5, and she went from him and shut the door upon her sons. The sons that brought the vessels to her. And she poured out. And she poured out. And she poured out. It was a simple command for her. From the man of God, Elisha. It was a simple command. She could have said that pouring the oil into other vessels from my vessel, what's that going to help? I can get all the neighbor's vessels, but if I just spread mine out, what's that going to help? It's ridiculous to think about pouring my oil from the vessel I have into others. Some thoughts that she could have went through her mind, but she didn't. She was submissive. She was in obedience to the man of God. She was submissive to him. Paul in the New Testament, when he was writing to Ephesians and Colossians, made this statement. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And I bring this in because of the headship order. There's a headship order for every mother that is in place. That you were called to submit to. Another place he says, you all submit one to another. Okay, so it's not just the women that have to do the submitting. But in this account, if this woman had not submitted to Elisha's bidding, and in obedience followed it. Remember, her answer to her problem was at home in that vessel that she had. And Elisha pointed that out and said, you need to take that and pour it out. And she did that. Submission and obedience brought about the result for an answer to her problem. There's another thing that her submission and obedience did that as I pondered on this. Remember that a mother is one that teaches others. It can be in the first point in the life of faith that a mother lives will be taught to their children. Submission and obedience will be taught to their children. I want you to think about that. Verse 6, I'm going to read that again. You think about how it was taught to the children. And it came to pass when the vessels were full, she had poured it all out. She said to her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. I don't know if it's just our children or my growing up, I remember some times when maybe my dad or mom would tell me to do something and you do just enough to get by. Did her sons do that? No. Their mom asked him, bring me another vessel. You know, I've been there. I looked it all. I've been in obedience to your requests, Mom. There isn't any more vessels. Believe the submission and obedience was passed down as they viewed this woman and her submission and obedience. What makes good mothers today? The third one. A good mother looks for directions from God. Verse 7, this woman came to the man of God. She had filled all the vessels full. Where do we go from here? I believe she could have looked at it and said, well, there's my answer. No, she went back to the man of God and says, here's what happened. I poured out and the vessels were full. She came back for directions on what to do. We could look at us men, maybe. There's some times when our wives are looking for that direction too. They could look through. They could get an answer to look at, get the answer themselves. But no, they're looking to you as a leader. Where are we going to go from here? Ultimately, you as a leader, as you're in the headship order, you need to look to God. Where do we go from here? They can ask, the wives can ask the Lord as well. But she looked to him for direction from God. She looked for direction at the start and at the end. And it followed through the whole account. As the Lord showed her where to go, she followed the directions. Today, mothers do well to ask God for directions in every area of life. And I like to say, especially child training. But every area of life. What makes good women today is mothers that are looking for directions from God. The fourth one. We're going into the second part, or the second story. We're going to pull something from this woman's life. Remember, this woman has not given, I hated to say mother, I believe that there's, for anybody that's childless, I'm not pointing you out, you can still be a mother to children about you. But here is this woman from Shunem. The Shunammite woman is what we refer to her as. She's there going about her work. What makes a great mother as we look at her life? The fourth one I have, she sees the need about. This woman saw the need about her. Here's Elisha. He's passing through Shunem. And in verse 8 there, we have it that in this account, it even went to the point of saying she was a great woman. Women of faith are great women. But I believe she was a great woman because of what she did in her life and what she was doing with her life. And here was this man that was passing through. And she stopped him and said, here's food. He needs food. For all of us, remember your mother supplied food for you as you were growing up. Your father maybe did the provisions to buy the food. But most times the father's not the one to prepare the meal. It's the woman. And it became a known fact. We see it here. The last part of verse 8. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. I like to break stuff down into everyday life and think about it so we can grasp some mind. He's leaving. Well, if you come back through, stop back again. We'll give you some more to eat. Hospitable, ready to give some more and to give some more. It was an open invitation, I believe, in the life of Elisha. You coming through, you know where you can eat at. Question for you. Do you think it was always convenient? Do you think this woman ever had to do canning? Do you think this woman ever had to do other work that making a meal for a stranger was a hard part? Children, fathers, do you think that it is always convenient for your wife or for your mother to stop what she's doing and make a meal for you? No, it isn't. But they see the need. They see that people are going to be hungry and they want to fill that need. And they're willing to do it. Good mother today is willing to give. Well, beyond that, she was willing to give even beyond that of what was expected. She gave the meal. She gave all that. But she didn't stop there. She wanted a little chamber. This man's tired. He needs to take a rest. I believe she saw a need in Elisha's life. Here is a man of God that was going all the time. He had so much to do. He could use a little rest. And she wanted to provide for that. She gave beyond what was expected. She gave a little room for Elisha. I can't help but think of the words of Jesus. Well, Paul said them there as he was leaving the Ephesus. And they would see him no more. In Acts 20, verse 34, I have shown you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, and these are the words I want you to think about, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Women, good mothers, faithful mothers today, great mothers, live with that motto, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Well, the fifth one I have, I'd like to look at the gift of perception. Verse 9. Here is this man of God, and she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God which passeth by us continually. I would hesitate maybe to say that this is a total qualification to be a great mother. But it often is. The gift of perception. She was the one that was in the account here. She was the one that came in contact with Elisha. She had the perception of this man's life. There's something more to this man. He's not just a stranger passing through. He has this need that we talked about in the last point. He needed some sleep. Needs to rest. She perceived that. Question today. How many times can the mother see things that are happening in a child's life and we men miss it? Is it just me? I can take you to times in my life when I got encouragement from my mother. I've got encouragement from my father as well. But I think I can say that my mom saw it more than what my dad did. Some of that has to come with it, or comes with a connection that the close contact the children have, she has with the children on a daily basis. But what I want to go is that this perception, and it, as she watches her children, she can know where they're going. And this woman's life had started before she even had children of her own. She knew. For us husbands, we do well to take notice of the perceptions of our wife. I've talked to people already, been at marriage seminars where this was discussed, how husbands, we should talk to our wives maybe before we do a big business venture. And there were some people sitting there in the, We do well to take notice to the perceptions of our wives. They have that gift of perception. They can look past and see some things that we as men get so focused on that we miss the little webbing that comes into it. It's often born into women. That gift to be able to look beyond the here and now and the focus of where we're going, and to look at all the everything coming into it. This woman had the gift of perception. A good mother today will often have that as well and will use it in raising children. Let's go to the sixth one. The gift of humility and contentment. Read this account. I'm going to just highlight it again. She had made this little room for this man, Elisha. He wants to do something in return. It is such a kind token. Elisha's asking her, "What can I do for your kindness to me? What can I do? Because you've been so kind, you've met my needs so well. I'd like to do something back." And he calls this Shunammite. Verse 13, and she stood, last of verse 12, she stood before him, and he said unto him, "Say now unto her," I'm not sure why he talked through Gehazi to talk to this woman if she was stood before him. "Say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all care, all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? What do you want? Do you want fame? Do you want fortune? You want to be noticed. You want to be. I'd like you to think about her response in the end of verse 13. And she answered, "I dwell among mine own people." If you take that phrase, she's telling Elisha, "I don't need anything. My needs are taken care of. I'm dwelling among my people. I'm content. I'm happy where I'm at." She doesn't want fame or recognition. "I dwell among my own people. I'm just willing to do it. I don't need anything." And it seems like she left after this dialogue with Elisha. She has gone out. And Elisha turns to his servant Gehazi and says, verse 14, he said, "What then is to be done for her?" Almost like he turned to Gehazi and said, "We need to do something though. What are we going to do? Here's this woman that has done so much for us. What should we do?" And Gehazi had some insight into her life and said, "Verily she hath no children, no child, and her husband is old." And so he calls her back in and promises to her that she's going to have a son. And she said, "Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid." It was a need. It was a desire of her heart, like it is in every woman, to be a mother. She wanted to be a mother. But she was willing to fill the role up to this point of where the Lord had called her to, humbly and contentedly. here to say that if you cannot today fill the role of where God calls you, whether single, young married, wherever you all find yourself in life, if you can't fill it contentedly, humbly, and serve the Lord there, your desires, your where you want to go, what looks like the greenest pasture is on the other side of the fence, is not going to fulfill it either. Can you fulfill? Good Mothers today has a gift of humility and contentment where she is today, and lets a future to the Lord. Number 7. What makes a good mother today? We're going to the end of this passage. As we think about this son that was given to her, this child had to be close to this mother's heart. There had to be a really close connection. He went to the field with his dad, and all of a sudden he had a headache or something happened. He said, "My head, my head." Well, her husband, the dad, knew where to send a child when it's in need. You send it to mom. Because mom has some insight often to know how to help it. And we know that this account, that this child, as he sat on her knees, she was holding him till noon. She dropped all her other work and she was holding him till noon. And then he died. The 7th point that I have here is a good mother can say it is well even when reverses are happening. That might be a mouthful. There might be times when that's hard to say. But this woman did. Verse 23 is where I wanted to read again. And he said, "Whosoever wilt go, wherefore wilt thou go to him today?" Her husband's asking. It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, "It shall be well." You see, this woman, as she came in contact with Elisha, knew that this child was given from God to her. It shall be well. It didn't take care of the pain. It didn't take care of the struggle. But she knew where to go when there's trials in life. And she had this faith in her life. As we come back to that first point, this woman had faith as well. As she said, "The man of God, I need to go see him." And as she talked to her husband, she said, "It shall be well." And so they went on and went to meet Elisha. In verse 26, Gehazi was to come to her and say, "Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, 'Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?'" And she answered, "It's well. It's well." How could she say this? How could she say it was going well? Her son had died. What about reverses in life? Can we have a little bit of what was in this woman? Can we have a lot of what was in this woman, maybe we should say? I believe what changed this woman and how she could say it is well, even when reverses were happening. But it was because it wasn't her agenda anymore. It wasn't her agenda. It was all the things that she had put place in her life. And her communion with who the Lord was and his leading in her life. And so when the reverses were coming, she could say, it's well, because the Lord's in control. I don't need to worry about it. It doesn't take care of the pain. It doesn't take care of the hurt. But it is well. As Jesus prayed, we all too today need to pray, not our will, but thy will be done. Jesus' will, or God's will, needs to be done. And I believe this woman had it in her life. Well, we're thankful that as she called for this man of God, who she had faith in, who she had trust in, that he could help her. She wasn't leaving till he came. Sometimes today, we need to take a look at our lives. Are we waiting on the Lord? Are we allowing him to work and have his will? And when it feels like a reverse to us, can we say, it is well, it is well? I'd like to do closing thoughts. Mothers today, is it well? Well, we dare not give up because we can't reach this idealistic life. We dare not get too idealistic and think that we need to be perfect. But where's your focus? Where are we going? So way down deep in our lives, mothers and fathers as well, is it well? Is it well? How is your faith in God? Is your faith anchored in God? Are you giving to those about you? Are you being who God wants you to be? Is your life a life of commitment? Do you have confidence in God's leading in your life and in the lives of your family? I still have a mother today. She's still living. My wife still has a mother. She's still living. I know some people don't have that. But no longer do I live at home anymore. And my mother speaks directly into my life. No longer am I in that aspect and avenue of life anymore. There's some children here that are there. Your mother is raising you, striving to help raise you, to be who you ought to be. Don't throw it away. Don't throw it away. Let her speak into your life. There's a window of time, mothers, when you can help your children the most, and that's in the younger years of life. You can speak directly into their lives. You can help train them and teach them. But there is no end. There is no end to when that needs to stop. Until life leaves, that would be the when that stops. But while there's life for a mother, there is still something you can do for your children that is so powerful. It changes from when there were young children. Spiritually, I'm talking. A mother must pray for her children. When they're young, coming up through, a mother needs to pray for them. Lift them to God in prayer, but that never should stop. I'd like to jump back in some closing thoughts here to verse 4 and 5 as we think about this prayer. Matthew 6, verse 6 says this, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You see what this was to do, is this first woman, mother, was commanded to go fill those vessels. She was to go in and shut the door. I think this can parallel to prayer. Shut the door to life. Shut the door to the things out there and pray. Do your children know that you pray for them? Mothers, do your children know you pray for them? Well, it was not an all-inclusive list, I don't believe, this morning, of what makes a good mother today. But here are some things I believe that we can apply to, as mothers, to our lives and as fathers as well. To think about helps to be a good mother so that we can, as your children look on, say like it says in verse 8, "And there was a great woman, and she was my mother." Let's kneel for prayer.